Well, friends, are you ready for the world to melt down here as 42 million people on food stamps get cut off tonight at midnight? Governor Armstrong directs more than 1.5 million to support food assistance that's not funded because of the government shutdown. Did you hear also about the ISIS plot just foiled in Michigan? Looks like there may be an ISIS resurgence on American soil. The Kremlin walks back nuclear test claims as Trump orders Pentagon to make preparations for atomic weapons testing. High winds cause damage at Hector International Airport. Good afternoon, friends. How are you doing? I'm Justin from the Lakes Country, filling in for Steve. Steve's out on assignment today. Appreciate you joining us. And we got Addison sitting in here helping out the show as usual. How are you doing over there, Addison? Well, he's otherwise preoccupied right now on a phone call. Didn't realize that when I said that. So, yeah, we'll take your phone calls, too, by the way. Give us a call at 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling phone line. You can also email us, studio@flagfamily.com. And then, of course, the text line. We always like to hear you from there, 701-237-1590. And you will be texting or looking at those rather throughout the show. So feel free to do that. So we're talking about a lot of hot topics today. I brought up a couple of them there at the top. And before I get into the more deeper into the news and today's show, we got a good show for you. We're going to be talking with Mr. Scott Hennin himself at the bottom of the hour. We're going to catch up with him and just, I know he's here at the beginning of the week and talking with Steve a little bit on, you know, what's hot, what's not. Just kind of get his pulse on what's going on with everything. Scott's a good friend, so I wanted to bring him in and kind of do a little of the same here. There's just, again, a lot of, I mentioned it in the headlines there, right? I mean, nuclear testing for the first time in 33 years and obviously the whole EBT thing, which actually looks like now some federal judges may have came in on that. We'll get into that in a second. And then then we're also going to have Dean Wysocki here is going to be here with us here in the hour too, probably a little later in the hour than normal, but not for a weather update. You're going to have to stay tuned on that. Dean's got a little something a little special going on we want to share with the program. And then next hour, we're going to have a gentleman named Mark Walters. Mark Walters has a show, not on any of our radio stations. It's a national show called Armed American Radio. He's on, you know, I think he's on a couple hundred stations, but we're going to talk to him. I could be either overinflating that or I didn't give him enough credit there. I tried to look that up, but I couldn't find it. But we're going to ask him that. We're going to have a little introduction to him. I want you to hear him out, too, because we hear Armed American Radio. He's a big Second Amendment advocate, of course. But this isn't like if you've listened to Tom Gresham, who's wonderful on the weekends, Gun Talk. This isn't Gun Talk. This is more policy, why this is important to you, even if you're not a Second Amendment. Well, I shouldn't say, hopefully you're a Second Amendment believer and constitutional believer, but even if you're not a big gun person, you're going to want to hear what Mark has to say. And yeah, selfishly, like I would love to hear him on these radio waves, but you'll be able to catch him nonetheless. He's got a website, armedamericanradio.com, I believe. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll take your calls again throughout and texts and emails. And so, yeah, just kind of getting into the the show here. I was talking at the top about the, you know, the EBT stuff, and this is quite interesting as the government shutdown has continued to go on. You know, looks like these federal judges may have came in and swooped in at the last minute, but I'm going to play you some clips here, probably after our break here in a little bit. Of just what this has been like leading up to this, right? You get these people, what I've, and I'll be honest with you, I, of course, thought there was some fraud and some corruption within the, you know, various programs in the government, but I've seen quite a bit, and I know some of the videos, not everything you see on X and TikTok and all of that are some of them are fake, some of them are setups. There's thousands of these. And I mean, I learned stuff that I didn't even know about the food program and how terribly it's being abused by people. Now, don't get me wrong, and I will say this at the very top. There are people that need it, and I'm sure there might even be some in the audience, and that's fine. Like, that's these programs are there. I mean, I'll give you a different example, an analogous example. You'll know I understand. I've been laid off in my life, right, from companies with hundreds of other people that were laid off from the same company, and it sucks. And it really sucks to get unemployment. I've got unemployment, and unfortunately, the kinds of jobs that I'm after, they take a few months to, you know, 2, 3, 4 months to get, right? They're not just something you can walk in and get an interview today and, you know, start tomorrow. Well, you know, obviously I needed it at the time, right? It kind of, you know, kept me going and kept me afloat. And so I wasn't going to be defaulting anything and or late on my bills. And there are, again, there are people out there just same thing. They're having a tough time, whether it's economy now or whether it's been a while. But these programs are meant to be temporary. And what I found just in the, I mean, again, a little bit scratching the surface on X is these people, I mean, are fraudulently like just raping the program. It's the best way I can describe it. There's one clip I'm going to play for you in a little bit. This lady's bragging that she's got a $4,000 monthly payment just to her EBT. I don't know if she's on any other sort of government services. And she is bragging that, don't worry, come November 1st, you know, tomorrow, come November 1st, I'm going to be just fine because I have multiple sources of income, you fools. There's other people saying on these videos, you owe me. One person says, I have seven children from seven different fathers, and she's bragging about it. I mean, I look at these with a close eye. Like, again, you can never know unless there's some community comments in there on as there are on X in some of the videos, if they are setups or not. But most of the time, again, I mean, from what I've looked at these, they are not setups. It's just, and it just, it breaks your heart on one hand because it's, there's people that really need it that, and these people are just so taking advantage of it. I mean, the best example I can give other than the analogous one I gave for the unemployment is what the illegal immigration's like, right? There are people that have waited years to become immigrants to our country that have done it the right way, that have stood in line, that have paid thousands of dollars to get their green card, and they are proud of this country and they assimilate. The vast majority of the people that, you know, the millions that have been coming in over the years, that is not the case. Obviously, we know that. And that's probably what this, what the best example of what this is like. Let's see, Governor Armstrong, he was going to direct some money that may neither be here nor there now, but he was going to direct some money, $1.5 million for specifically for North Dakota for some food assistance that wasn't funded because of the shutdown. But again, the latest headline is a couple judges said the Trump administration can actually pay start up the SNAP program, which we'll have to talk about that and discuss that, what your thoughts are on that. I have mixed feelings about that. On one hand, I'm happy because, again, people are going to be able to get, you know, benefits that actually need them. Unfortunately, all of these ones that I'm going to play for you after the break are also going to get them. So I'm mixed about that because we need some pain. You know, I know that the latest headline over the weeks has been the pain in, you know, as far as the farmers are concerned. And again, I love farmers. I'm big on farming. I have friends that are farmers, and I don't want them to, you know, lose money on cattle prices, as an example, because we're getting meat in Argentina now, or, you know, I know the soybean prices are low because of some of the tariffs and China's went elsewhere instead of going to us. I get that. I believe in my heart, that's temporary pain on both of those fronts. And I think there should be some temporary pain too on the EBT front. And that these people that really need it could go to other places in the meantime while there's that pain. And, we kind of weed out the riffraff, which I think is millions and frankly billions. So, we got a lot more coming up here on the show. There's still some news headlines I didn't get to, but we'll talk about that and more after the break here. And yeah, we'll take your calls at any point. You can call us at 701-271-1100. Love to hear your thoughts on the EBT or SNAP program. Also your texts. If you don't want to call, that's okay. Just send me a text and let me know your feelings, and I promise I'll read it out. By the way, we are live too from the Drive with Vision studio, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, where you can buy a car, truck, SUV in 15 minutes. Good place to go. And I know Steve's done just that with his Lincoln. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back and we'll take all your calls and talk a little bit more about all of this. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Justin from the Lakes Country sitting in for Steven today. I call him El Presidente. He's out on assignment because he's the president of this fine organization. So we were talking before the break about the EBT. And again, I knew a little about this, and I started educating myself kind of throughout the shutdown here. And let me just back up on the government shutdown as a whole. I would love to get your a poll from the audience on this too. And again, you can call us at 701-271-1100 or text us 701-237-1590. What I want to know from you is, again, how you feel about the EBT in general, but how do you feel about the government shutdown as a whole? Because I've been for years been blow it up. I'm just going to be frank with you. Blow it up. I know that there's people that conservatives don't feel that way. And isn't it interesting that every time that we've had a potential government shutdown in the past, you hear from the Democrats on, oh my gosh, you know, people aren't going to get paid and it's going to be, you know, and they're talking within days, right? So we're going on a month now. Just keep that in mind. But they're talking about within days that, you know, the world's basically going to melt down. And tell me, has the world changed that much for you in the last 30 some days? Now, a week ago, I was talking with a friend, and that friend had said that I had said, you know, we're now in the longest government shutdown. They said, no, there's been some longer ones. This is like the third longest. And I said, no, it's not actually. It's the longest full government shutdown. We've had partial government shutdowns that have been longer, and actually we may have surpassed those now. I think we are going to shortly in the next few days, or we have. Now, am I happy to not see air traffic controllers being paid? Of course not. Am I happy to not see our military get paid? Of course not. I want those people, you know, taken care of, both of those groups. Am I happy that the you know, the people that actually need the EBT and SNAP are not being paid right now, or sounds like it might have been lifted today, but am I happy, generally speaking, that they weren't that it was on the precipice? No, of course not, right? I want these people paid, but I also want the whole reason that we got Trump in, and I've seen so many videos and stuff on this where people say, you know, they'll have a clip on X and they'll say, this is why I voted for Trump. And that's what I would say, like, with this government shutdown, even though, keep in mind, the Republicans wanted to pass the full clean CR, nothing attached to it, just as it was when Biden was in office, right? That's what they wanted to do, and the Democrats have voted it down now in the past 30 days 13 times. So when we say this is on the Democrats, that's why, right? But even still, I'm happy that it shut down for some reasons, right? It's not every reason, but I just think that there's could be some restructuring on a lot of this, particularly EBT and SNAP, and we'll get back to that. But what's your opinion? Do you think that the government should be shut down? Do you think it's helping? Again, illuminate people's minds and eyes to these various groups. Now, of course, we have Thanksgiving coming up here. Can you believe that? Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving coming up here in about 3 weeks, and I was talking to somebody that I know that's going to Costa Rica for a wedding, and he was saying, I think it's Costa, it might be Puerto Rico, but it's Costa Rica, I think. And he was saying, you know, I was asking, like, how are you situated for this? Like, are you worried about getting down there, getting back? And he said, well, we have travel insurance, but he wasn't too worried one way or the other. But the air traffic controllers, they haven't been paid in a few weeks. Some of them can weather this, some cannot. All of their support staff, in case you didn't know this is a week ago. This is a week old information, I'm telling you. All of their support staff is no longer there, and particularly their IT support staff. And you might say, well, if they have a computer problem, what's the big deal? Well, if they have a problem with one of the programs that they run as an air traffic controller, it's a huge deal because they can't fix it. So they're really running on a skeleton crew and basically crossing their fingers that there is no problems that are going to happen. And again, they got a lot of people's lives in their hands while they're doing all this. So, and not getting paid. So of course I want some changes there. The military, right? The military is, they got lucky. I'm sure you guys saw this in the news. There was an anonymous donor. Can you believe this? An anonymous donor, $130 million to pay the military. Now that only paid them for a week or two. It wasn't a long time, but they got some relief, right? So, God bless that person for coming in. So there has been some good stories out of this, and that's good. Going to the back to this EBT thing, I want to get a few of these clips in before we go back to break, just to give you a little sense. Some of you may not have heard this. Some of you may not have heard the way people really think of it and how much it's really, I want to say, an entitlement to some of these people by the words that they say. I'm going to play you a couple clips here. We'll play this first one. There's several people in here, and then there's one that comes in with some words of wisdom, let's say. I'll play just a little bit of this for you.
My kids have not eaten 5 days. It is the taxpayer's responsibility to take care of my kids.
Trump done cut no food stamps off. If you're poor, don't have kids, okay? If you're struggling, don't have kids. Don't bring more in. If you already have them, that's another situation. If you don't have them, don't bring any in. And if you have two, don't go having another one. If you have one, don't go having two more.
So they say $2 million is getting cut off this month for the scams. I'm about to go find out if I'm in that number, in that ratio.
It's been day 5 and I have not received no food stamps. My disability checks is on hold. My cash benefits is not coming no more. They're still pending.
So just a little flavor there. So that was the same lady as from the beginning. So that lady gets a number of benefits. You heard her say disability in there. You heard her say some other cash benefits. And then you also heard her say, of course, her SNAP benefits. But you heard what she said in the very first part of the clip. It's the taxpayer's responsibility to pay for her SNAP. How you feel about that? Me? It enrages me. just being honest, just saying it. I can't believe that there's people that think like that. And what that lady said, you know, again, that's more, you know, future planning about the one that said, you know, if you're thinking about having kids, don't. If you can't afford them, don't. You know, all of that. You heard that clip. But I just, again, these just offend me to the, and I hope they make you think a little bit as well. I'm trying to find another one here. This is another good one. We'll play just a little bit. We'll play the whole thing of this.
For me, because I've been on food stamps for the past 15 years, you do realize that I qualified for food stamps because of my income, right? Because I don't have any income. I haven't had income in the past 15 years, and I have been able to have my bills paid, my food paid for, and I'm in Section 8 housing, okay? These are all programs that I'm entitled to because I do not make enough, okay? So before you go and pass judgment on someone, realize that everyone's life situation is not going to be the same as yours.
So, again, she's right. I don't know her life situation. I can tell you by looking at some of these people, particularly the first clip, I saw the lady there. She looked pretty able-bodied for being on disability, and I've known people on disability that, frankly, are able-bodied. And when I say know them, not close, maybe more of an acquaintance, and they can do stuff, right? I mean, this lady can clearly – there's so many jobs now. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of jobs you can do from home with your computer, customer service. I mean, I called Blue Cross not too long ago because that's the insurance that I have. And lo and behold, get a rep that's at home. And this is even funnier, is she's somebody I knew. Can you imagine of all the people I would call at Blue Cross? It was just the normal customer service line for whatever. And I was calling to, I don't know, check on a claim or check on a something. And she said, is this, you know, Justin? And she kind of said my whole name. And then I said, yeah. And sure enough, it was one of my friends, one of his spouses. So nonetheless, you could see what this lady said, though, too, just that. It was weird. I thought this one might be a put on too, because she starts out the clip and she had said in there that I don't make enough income. That's why I'm on these different benefits. And then she said she doesn't have a job. Well, which is it? I mean, I obviously one could lead to both. I mean, but when she said I don't make enough income, well, where does the other income come from? I'm guessing just the benefits. So that's why. But they're just working the system. I'll play one more here. Let me play. This one here. This one's been widely out on the news. This is a lady. She's, again, that's why, I mean, you'd think some of these were put-ons, but they're bragging about how much they're scamming the system. And this lady, she goes on with a video and she does a side-by-side, and she, you'll hear her say, this is what my SNAP deposit is for the month. And her SNAP deposit is $4,194. Now, she looks very able-bodied, but I want you to hear what she says exactly, because she's got some diversification going on. So let's go ahead and play this real quick.
For those of you laughing because I'm on welfare, I just want to show you something real quick. This is my upcoming pending deposit for SNAP EBT for November. If you are laughing at me right now because you think that I'm going to suffer come November, you better think again. I know how to work the system into my favor. I know how to get what I want. I have multiple sources of income, and that's where a lot of you go wrong. You rely on one source of income. But if you had multiple if something like this were to happen where EBT gets shut down, you still have your other sources of income. But regardless, I'm still going to get my EBT money for November. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm going to get mine. And
so she looks like she's in a pretty nice place, too, on top of that. But I love how she's very coy with the different sources of income. I'm scared to ask what they might be. Probably not legal, just taking us a wild guess. But worse, it could be other sources coming from the government. But she's proud of it. And I will play one more for you that just to kind of drive it home. This one's, it's, she's got a pretty heavy accent, let's say. And again, I just did a very quick search, scamming EBT or SNAP benefits, right? I did that in X and this came up. So this lady is telling you, and there's, you know, she's kind of making motions and stuff, so it's not all dialogue. So I'll kind of explain it and then I'll play it here. So she's saying, if you want to get Starbucks, I'll show you how to do that with your EBT, because you can't just walk into a Starbucks. You have to go to a Starbucks in a Target or in a Publix. You know, she's in a, that's what she says, in a Publix, one of the grocery stores down south. But if you go in the store and get it, and then she walks out with her whatever in hand, her $10 drink that she just spent with her EBT. I'm going to play this, and again, love to know your thoughts.
A Publix or whatever type of store like that that has like a Starbucks inside, you can use your food stamp to get Starbucks. So I'm about to show y'all right now. Let's go.
So she's picking up the essentially the drink and walking out with it at this point.
A Publix.
Sorry about that. So she's, yeah, she's picking up the drink and walking out with it. And again, people, this is out of hand. And again, you do not have to look far for any of these. When we get back from break, I think we might have Scott at that point. But if we don't, I have a couple more clips. One, because you got to talk about Hakeem Jeffries. So Hakeem Jeffries came out the other day. The leader for the Democrats, right? And he had said, and he has said, rather, there is no illegal immigrants that are receiving SNAP benefits. Because that's the other problem. We're just talking about anybody right now, right? Well, this is also a problem with illegals. And keep in mind, the whole reason the government shut down right now is because they want health benefits for the illegals. So Hakeem Jeffries is going to say in this clip here that I'll play for you that, again, they're not receiving any SNAP benefits. And I have another clip saying just the opposite from the Biden administration, from their HHS person, the same same role that that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in. So stick around, folks. We're going to have Scott Hennin when we come back from break. We'll maybe talk about a little bit of this. I'll maybe play these last couple clips and kind of see what's going on in his world and how he surveys things now that the federal judges came in. And again, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but we'll talk with him about that. So go nowhere. Welcome back, friends. The Steve Hallstrom Show. Thanks for rolling with us on your Friday. It's about 4:38 right now. We're going to talk with Scott Hennin here in just a second, but I talked about this clip right before we went to break with Hakeem Jeffries, and this is where he says that no illegal immigrants are receiving SNAP benefits in the U.S. or other benefits as that for that matter. Let me play this for you real quick, and we'll get Scott's opinion on this.
And on the current law, undocumented immigrants are already ineligible for Medicaid, the ACA exchanges, and for SNAP benefits. Not a single undocumented immigrant in this country gets a dime in federal taxpayer dollars for any part of comprehensive Medicaid coverage. Not one. And so when we're talking about nearly 14 million people who are going to be thrown off their health insurance, millions of others who are going to be jammed up by this aggressive cut to SNAP, the largest cut to food assistance in American history, we're talking about American children. We're talking about everyday Americans. We're talking about Americans with disabilities. And when it comes to nutritional assistance, we're talking about veterans who have served this country.
We're talking about the children. Do it for the children, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's maddening in one part to hear all this. On the other hand, it's nothing new.
But I think is great about it is all that rhetoric has really been the playbook of the left for a long time. And the pain that they inflict politically as a result of using that rhetoric normally works and gets Republicans to go, oh, we want everybody to love us. Oh, they're going to think we're starving children. It's not working this time, which is the Donald Trump effect on politics, because he's taught Republicans how to punch back. And literally, I can't think of another Republican that's ever done that before, certainly in my lifetime. And usually the bedwetting caucus is like, oh, this isn't going well. The Republicans have the moral high ground here, and the Democrats are digging a deeper hole. And I think, you know, the TikTok of it, of how does it end, when does it end, how do you give them an off-ramp, whatever, is less important than the fact that they've lost a major arrow in their quiver. This didn't work. And now what? What do we do next? Because politics has changed. Government has changed. And that's I think, the fun thing for me to watch this play out from a political standpoint. On the other hand, the real-life impacts, you know, trying to fly out and having planes not be able to go because of air traffic controllers, or the idea of the Capitol Police that I've seen just in the last month, while the government shutdown was on, saying they're basically volunteering, you know, all of the things that they can do to inflict pain. And then they act like, well, you know, the SNAP benefits, there was some argument today that press conference this morning with Speaker Mike Johnson and Brooke Rollins, the ex secretary, saying, well, you've got money laying around there. Why don't you just pay for the SNAP benefits and the checks? And they're like, well, that's not the law.
That's right.
The law doesn't allow us to do that. They don't care. I like how they say, well, the House ought to come back and do its job. No, the House did its job. Do you understand the Constitution? House passes a bill, goes to the Senate. Senate has goofy rules, needs 60 votes, don't have 60 Republicans. Everything they complain about, they've done. The Democrats could fix all of this tomorrow by simply voting in a manner they've always voted on these funding bills, and that is, don't put anything else on it. Well, here's what's happened, Justin. They lost. They lost an election. They've lost battles in Congress over funding these things or not. And now they expect to leverage, and that's their words, gets better for us every day. We're leveraging all this bad stuff. We got to stick together. They keep losing on this, and now they're literally harming people they claim to want to protect and have always defended for political gain. It's not working. It's just unbelievable to see this transformation and how it's happened. It's really incredible.
When I hear those words from Hakeem Jeffries, you know, and I joked, but it's for the children. And I told everybody at a time, look, there's people that really need SNAP benefits. I get that. But when the Democrats come out and say it's for the children or the people with disabilities or the veterans, that's the same or analogous to saying abortions just for mammograms. Like, of course, there's percentages of people that need it.
It's almost so easy, right? To like break that down. I mean, a fifth grader could figure out how dumb this is. Wait a minute, you're complaining about things you've caused. What?
That's right.
You know, all you're worried about all that stuff, vote right now. You know, and everybody should understand what they're voting for. They want illegal criminal migrants to get health care benefits. They're That's dying right. on that hill. This is the hill they're dying on. No, you evil Republicans. Okay, well, let's vote again on it. Because we've already voted on all that, but we'll give you another vote. It doesn't happen as part of this. So, you know, the other thing is the Obamacare premiums. Again, there's a word that should be struck from government lingo, Obamacare. How was there any care in there? Care got worse. Care cost more. Premiums went up. Healthcare costs went up because of Obamacare. Okay? So, dumb name. But they want the fact that we have a system that is going bankrupt, Medicaid, providing for people. And the Republicans have said, we got a fiscal problem here, and people that are at 600% of the poverty level are getting subsidies from the federal government, and you guys want us to keep doing it when we have a $38 trillion debt. Sorry, no. Can't do it. Passes, signed into law as part of the one big beautiful bill they lost. They want to go back and refight it. Fine. Give them an off-ramp to say, let's have a vote on it again. I actually love it because I think the more times the Democrats vote for illegal immigrants getting health care, for Obamacare premiums being artificially reduced at the expense of everybody else to rich people. This is what they're voting for. Good. Have another vote and another vote after that, another vote exactly. after that, all day long, because it's proving to people how incompetent you are, how corrupt you are. It's unbelievable. I honestly think, you know, again, I'm going to just say I love all of this politically. I don't like the pain it's inflicting.
Correct. That's why I said too.
But again, the pain it's inflicting is on the people who have caused the pain. It's on them. But the scales are falling off of people to say, that's the hill they're dying on? What? And I think the scales are falling off of people related to the fact that the Democrat Party today is controlled by very, very diabolical, twisted people like AOC, like Bernie Sanders, like Mom Downey in New York. And they have a hex on every Democrat. They have a hex on pawns on social media because they get fed all this garbage that they've always got fed, and they regurgitate it from the media, and none of it's true. And people are going like, oh, now I get it. This is beautiful politically. It's beautiful. They are destroying themselves because they've all got to be a trained SEAL act at SeaWorld to perform for AOC. Otherwise, no normal Democrat will pop up right now and say anything. None. Kevin Cramer told me a story off the air today that John Hickenlooper, who is a normal Democrat from Colorado, member of the Senate,
yep.
is saying privately, like, this has got to end. This is horrible. This is we need an off-ramp and quick. I mean, normal Democrats are saying that privately to other senators.
Well,
but they can't say it publicly, or there'll be mobs in front of their house and literally death threats, like there were to Supreme Court justices.
Oh, yeah. By the way, folks, we're talking with Scott Hannon. He's got a little show on the program. It's called What's on Your Mind? Steve said to say that, so I'm sorry. But, no, it's a What's on Your Mind in the mornings. But so now with the federal judges coming in, I'm mixed on that. Good or bad thing? I mean, obviously good for, again, for you and I agree that the people that really need the SNAP benefits are going to get them. It's going to be funded.
Yeah,
bad
well,
for the other 70%.
Just let me see if I follow, if you and I are talking about the same thing.
Sure.
The judges are being asked if they can free up dollars in other places of the government to pay out these benefits. Correct?
Correct. Well, actually, the two judges
being involved.
Well, it says this is the latest headline on Fox here from just a, I don't know, hour ago. It says two judges rule Trump admin must keep SNAP benefits in place as shutdown drags on.
Yeah, so I don't know the judges, but I bet
Massachusetts.
You know, they're liberal justices that believe that they can interpret the Constitution. Did you say Massachusetts?
Yeah, federal judge in Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, then
one
you
of
told
them.
Me everything I need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're trying to legislate from the bench, and that'll stand up. That's more stunts. That's more stunts. And again, could Donald Trump just pull money out of a pot of funny and put it out there? Sure, he could, but it would be illegal. It would be unconstitutional. And if they think that law is so bad, change the law. Then go to Congress and, you know, pass a law that says, no, he should be able to pull money. It's against the law. That's just a stunt. It's a stunt to say, oh, Trump is, he's, you know, withholding all this stuff because he's mean, bad, orange man, you know. They're stone cold stupid.
But if it holds for whatever length of time it holds, is that a good or a bad thing for the overall shutdown? You know, in other words, a bunch of the pressure's off now.
I think it would just prolong. It would, you know, it'd be a patchwork, and it would allow them to continue to try and scream and holler. I think at this point it's over. I think this thing ends next week. They tried everything. They delayed this out. You know, as Lindsey Graham told me in my show not long ago, it's more likely an 800-pound guy will pass a donut than it would be the Democrat wouldn't want to fund the government. But it's happening. You know, it is happening. The 800-pound guy just passed up the donut. You can't do that for far too. They've tried everything and it's not worked. So I think it'll end next week and all this stuff on the judges is noise.
Well, on that note, this may be irrelevant, but just what's your opinion on it? You got about 30 seconds here. Do you think the Republicans should get rid of the filibuster and go nuclear like Trump wants them to?
No, I don't, because Donald Trump will be president forever. and that could be used as a weapon against us. I defer to the founding fathers, and you never can go wrong there. Look at the wisdom and how many years that stood up, coming up on 250. And they put a filibuster in there for a reason. You know, they put that ability in there for a reason. So has it changed over the years? Yeah, judges and other things. But I think to go nuke only works if you're going to have a Republican Senate. And Donald Trump could lose that in the midterms. And then what? His presidency's over. You know, so not a good idea.
Well, I would argue not at this rate. I mean, at this rate, we might have the Republicans might have the whole Senate if they keep this nonsense up.
Let's hope. But I don't think California and New York can be fixed that quick.
Yeah, correct.
By the way, the other thing they do with a no filibuster, you'd have a Supreme Court of 50 people. You know, they would go so crazy with that filibuster if they ever got control of it again. That's just a bad idea.
But that's the point, though. They're saying that the Democrats plan on doing this, that this is going to happen, you know, next time they're in, regardless. So do we just pull the Band-Aid off and do it now?
They would have a tougher time doing it. If we do it, then they've got it already.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, good stuff. Are you going to be around here for the weekend? What's your plans?
I don't even know. I don't know what I'm doing 5 minutes from now. Probably putting candy out in a bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget you're going to go trick-or-treating tonight.
I'm going to hand out candy and adore little children when they come by. But other than that, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Hopefully recharging a little over the weekend and getting ready to do it all over again. Going to D.C. next week, so I've been trying to change the world in a crazy town. So.
Well, good stuff. Appreciate you joining us for 15 minutes. And this is Scott Hannon, by the way. What's on your mind? 8:30 to 11. And are you going to be broadcasting live next week from D.C.?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So catch him next week. Thanks again for joining us, Scott. Have a good weekend. Appreciate you.
Yep. See you. Bye.
Folks, we're going to be back here in just a couple minutes, and we'll wrap up the first hour here with Mr. Dean Wysocki. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Justin from the Lakes Country filling in for Steve today. And we got a short couple of minutes here left. We're going to talk in a moment here with Dean Wysocki, but we're also at the top of next hour. We're going to have Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. You're not going to want to miss that. It's not just a flat-out gun talk show. He talks a lot of good policy and things you should keep in mind, and I think you'll find it interesting and love to have him on this station at some point. But with no further ado, is Dean Wysocki there?
There he is.
Now, can you believe this too? That Mr. Vanilla Ice is, I think, 58 today. So I thought,
is he really?
Yeah, wow. I was doing it this day in history, and I think I saw that. So, but yeah, thanks for joining me, man. You asked me today, so you know, full disclosure, give you a little background details, folks. We were texting this morning, and He texted me and I had said, you know, can you join us? Cause he's got something really cool that he's working on. And he said, well, wait, you're doing Steve's show. And I said, yeah. He's like, well, where's Steve going? And he was, I guess, here this morning in the building. And I found out where he was going. He's actually interviewing some meteorologists down in Minneapolis. So oops, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. Slipped out.
Oh, well, you know, good luck. That's okay.
Now I'm in trouble with Steve. No, I love Dean. Everybody knows. I don't give as much time to give you a hard time. And in all seriousness, you know, I heard you on Scott's show this morning, and we got about 3 minutes here, but I want you to, you know, to tell the audience about, you know, what's going on this weekend. There's a benefit that we want to tell you about, but kind of give us the backstory too, if you would.
Yeah. So, my better half, Christy, we are holding a benefit for her brother. He has to go, he has to have a double lung and kidney transplant. So he lives out in Hettinger. He has to move to Rochester, Minnesota to be next to Mayo Clinic. So when his organs come in, he'll be right there ready for the transplant. So he's had to close up his business. He's a world-renowned taxidermist. He's won first place worldwide in a number of categories. So he's had to shut down his business, and him and his wife they are in the process of moving to Rochester, Minnesota. And obviously the expenses of that, and he has to live down there for 2 years. So obviously these expenses are going to build up for him. And we're putting together a fundraiser, to help Randy out. And the fundraiser is going to be out at the Legion in Moorhead Sunday from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We've got over 100 silent auction items. One of the top ticket items is a signed Trump hat, and we've got a framed picture of Trump signing it with Senator Kramer. Right now, the price on that is at a little over $2,000 for that. And we've got numerous items from golf outings to a lot of the top-end restaurants in town have donated to the cause. And, you know, we can't say thank you enough to our community. The Fargo-Moorhead area, I'll tell you, the businesses here have stepped up, and Christy and I can't thank the businesses enough, from Sweet Shots to Red Wing Shoes to Kingpins. I mean, Cork and Cleaver. We're going to have so many items to bid on. So we invite everybody to come out and you know, just have a good time. We're going to have a Sloppy Joe feed as well. And if you show up, just showing up at the door, we're going to give you a ticket. And at the end of the night at 8 o'clock, we're going to draw one of those tickets, for $250. Wow. So just for showing up, you got a chance to win $250. And a lot of people have asked, you know, hey, I can't make it. And I know it's a weekend, it's Sunday. But if you can't make it and you still want to donate, Randy, her brother, has a Venmo, or I'm sorry, a GoFundMe. And so just go to GoFundMe and search Randy Holler. And if you can't make it out and you'd like to donate for his cause, that would be great too. But, you know, it's tough seeing Christy. It's her.
Yeah.
I'm getting choked
no,
up.
No, don't.
It's her only sibling.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's fighting for his life. He's on oxygen. And what it is pulmonary fibrosis. And what that is you're basically, your lungs start to, they scar up and start to shrink. And, you know, we think he's going to make it. We really do. He's a fighter. And, you know, hopefully, we're hoping that he gets these lungs within the next couple of months. And that's the goal, and the doctors think that's achievable. So fingers crossed, that's what we're hoping for.
Well, we, you know, please, folks, keep him in your prayers. And, yeah, Dean, you know, Dean's a great guy, and obviously he's got a great lady. And hopefully we can get some, obviously, relief for her sibling. And, say one more time, Moorhead VFW, is it?
No, Moorhead Legion.
Moorhead Legion,
American,
my bad.
Legion.
Okay.
Yep. 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Awesome. You had me at Sloppy Joe's, but no, please, folks, if you got a chance, go out there. And thanks for joining us, Dean, and telling us a little bit about that. Appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much, Justin.
Yeah. Well, folks, we'll be right back after the top of the hour with Mark Walters, Armed American Radio. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. This is Steve Hallstrom's show. Justin from the Lakes filling in for Steve today. Steve's out on assignment. And we got a good last hour for you here on Halloween. Gosh, it's hard to believe, Addison. Tomorrow is going to be November 1st.
I don't like it.
Believe it? But we have a great, very special guest, somebody that I have listened to for a long time. And he also is excuse me. He also is somebody that I think you're going to really like to get to know. His name's Mark Walters. He hosts a show called Armed American Radio. I first found him in Minneapolis. He's not on this station right now, and right now being the operative words. But I wanted to get him on and talk a little bit and introduce himself and kind of what he does in the gun world. And I think you're going to find it's a little different than what you're thinking. So, Mark, are you there, buddy?
I am. How are you? Thanks for having me on today, Justin. I appreciate it. Love that cult intro at the beginning.
I know, right?
If you've been listening for a long time, you know that used to be my intro music years ago.
I do know that.
Yeah, and, good for you.
And so, it was funny. You know, I the last time I saw you, we were with, you probably don't remember. You've had so many different outings that you've done, but we were with Mike Lindell at a table for AM 1280, the Patriot,
the
in Minneapolis
fair.
At the fair.
Yeah.
And that was probably the last year that they allowed you to just kind of walk in without going through security.
Well, that's the last year I walked in without
correct.
Going through security. And, let me put it that way.
And then the station down there gave up their booth on top of that. But yeah, no, I just kept saying in the lead up to you having you on here today that, you know, there's another guy. I'm sure you're very well aware who he is, Tom Gresham.
Sure. Good friend of mine.
Yep. He's on the weekends. I said he's, you know, Mark's not really talking about barrels of gun and sizes and an antique rifle. I mean, he might sometimes. It's more policy. And maybe explain kind of what you do. And how. I didn't know this either. How many stations are you on now?
Several hundred.
That's what I thought.
To be honest with you. It's been a remarkable run. 17 years on the nation's airwaves. You know, you mentioned Tom Gresham. Tom is now 30 years. Coming up in January will be 31 years. And I cut a really good promo for him. I've known Tom for many, many years. He is a dear, dear friend. But when we were putting this program together a number of years ago, Justin, one of the things that came to mind with me, I was writing for a magazine called Concealed Carry Magazine at the time. And I was thinking about what's not out there. And that is there was nothing. The politics of guns have changed radically over the years, right? Particularly over the last 17 years. And there wasn't anything out there that was talking about carrying and laws and gun rights and gun control and the political movement, which was really beginning to heat up. We took to the airwaves on April 26, 2009, which will be coming up April 26, 2026, will be our 17th anniversary and the beginning on the 27th of our 18th year on the airwaves. And I wanted to bring more politics to it, right? And I wasn't really sure how we were going to do it. So we just did it. And we started out as a one-hour program in Atlanta on AM 920, which still carries the program today. And 4 months later, we were syndicated, which is a remarkable achievement in radio, as you know. And the network, it took off, and within 6 months, we were on 100-plus stations, and it just continued to grow from there. Because people wanted to hear about this topic. Millions of Americans carry guns lawfully across this country. Millions. And you listeners, I guarantee some of you are carrying a firearm right now, no question about it, particularly in North Dakota, very gun-friendly state. So I'm guessing, you know, I'd like to think there's a little bit of talent there, but we hit all the right things at the right time, and the show just continued to explode. And here we are for 2025, just hit for the first time the Talkers Heavy 100. I came in at number 91 on the top 100 most important radio hosts in America for 2025, a remarkable achievement, left me speechless, and I'm very proud of that. It's been quite a run.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's amazing, even for the topic, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that should and are interested in guns and to hear some of the, you know, again, the policy and the politics behind it and whatever the latest is because they don't want to lose their rights. And I know you're fighting for that every day. But, I mean, in 6 months to get that kind of traction for that topic is amazing.
Yeah, I had one of the local radio hosts here in Atlanta because I used to broadcast the show from the studios of AM 920. And Denny, he ran Denny Radio in the evenings. And he hated me. He's like, I've been doing this for 25 years. How did that happen? And really, I didn't really have an answer for him other than to say that we weren't talking about the same things everybody else was talking about cookie cutter throughout the day. You had multiple shows on. Rush was on, of course. Virtually every station carried him. And nobody talked about gun rights unless it was a major story, like a mass shooting or something. And it was always painted negatively. And I got to thinking, no, we need to change this because over 150 million Americans own firearms lawfully in this country, and they need a voice. So we painted the program in a very unique way. Do you remember, and I'm sure you do, remember the old Crossfire on CNN LOL?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And remember Hannity and Combs shows?
Yep.
These guys would go back and forth, and it was red meat. I couldn't watch it for more than 5 minutes before I got angry and turned it off because it was just screaming and yelling. And I thought, no. The other side gets all the media they want. It's time we get heard. So this show, I based it on the following, I guess, you know, my mantra at that time was, we don't talk to them, we talk about them. And we've held on to that. It's not red meat radio. I don't bring the other side on so you can hear me yelling back and forth with somebody. These people hate our rights. They hate our freedoms. They own the media. And this time belongs to us. If you're an American gun owner, you have a right to be heard. And that's what Armed American Radio is all about. And independently owned now, I've owned it for 17 years. Here we are. I think we've done something right, or we would have never made it in this business. That's for sure.
Well, full disclosure, I did not own any guns when I was listening. I just, you know, the Patriot, again, down in Minneapolis, hate to keep saying that, but the Patriot down in Minneapolis, they just had such a good programming lineup. And I listened to Mark's show, the 3 hours on Sunday down there, and it's just amazing. I'd listen to it, and you know, I always like was supporter of the Second Amendment, but I didn't have any guns, and it's not even that you got me interested in buying them. It's just like I was thinking to myself, okay, I better get these before I can. It's kind of what I was thinking a little bit.
Well, they will never, they'll never stop. Their ultimate goal is to take them away from us. And we have focused on that over the years. We've proven that to be true. And a great example right now is what's happening with Glock. Glock has changed, and many of our listeners, I'm sure, own Glocks. Lots of gun owners own Glocks. And it's a very popular handgun. In fact, the 19 and the SIG P365 are the, probably doing battle for the two most common carry guns across the country over many years. And Glock just recently announced last week that they were changing their entire lineup. They were discontinuing virtually all of their models, you know, the venerable 17, the 19, the 30, the 26, the 27. We could go on down the line. But there's a bunch of them, and they're only keeping the 43, the 43X, and the 48X. Everything else is being discontinued, and beginning November 15th, they're going to begin shipping to dealers new versions. And the reason this is big news right now, I talked about it on the show today, is because Gavin Newsom signed HB 1127 in California, or Commifornia as we refer to it as, that bans all Glocks because of Chinese-made Glock switches that when the Glock is disassembled from the rear of the slide, this can be added to it and will open up the slide and the trigger mechanism and allow the gun to fire in full auto mode. And a lot of us were thinking, you know, don't, please, Glock, don't cave to the anti-gunners because of Chinese criminals for devices that are already a violation of federal law. Well, the Glock switches got more popular with gangbangers, and Glock just last week announced that they were changing their whole model lineup. So did they make a political move here? We will never know, and they will never admit that. They've changed their generation models. You got Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, Gen 4 for many, many years. And they didn't make a strategic decision to retool everything at the cost of what will no doubt be tens and tens of millions of dollars overnight. So this is something they had been considering anyway, and they did it. So it's been a fascinating topic because the online gun community, you know, the crazies out there that on all spectrums are hating all over Glock right now, and it's going to remain to be seen. Did they make a good decision, a bad decision? Did they Smith & Wesson themselves? Some of your listeners may remember when Smith & Wesson got in trouble with gun owners for caving into the Clinton gun control demands, et cetera. You remember that. So we find ourselves in this situation now with probably, likely, the most popular gun ever is the Glock. So it's going to be fun to watch this unfold, and it's been a great topic of conversation.
So we're going to go to break here, but I wanted to just give you some food for thought while we're on break. You know, there's a lot of different people listening to the show today, right? This is very pretty much a conservative audience, I would say. Mm-hmm. There's some probably there in the middle, some maybe even liberal. That's okay. I would say primarily, you know, Christian as well. But again, probably all religions are welcome here for sure. You know, what would you say to the people out there that, like, gosh, you know, I'm not really that interested in guns and why they should be concerned about policy? And I want you to hold this over to the break, but why they should be concerned about what's going on right now, just anywhere in the country. You can pick your poison there. But we're going to be right back here in just a second with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. You can't catch him on this station yet, but you can certainly catch him online. And again, excellent information just about everything going on that is Second Amendment. So go nowhere, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the Steve Hallstrom Show on your Friday, your drive home or drive to the lakes, wherever you may be going. This is Justin from the lakes sitting in for Steve. I have Mark Walters on the line from Armed American Radio. And we were talking before the break, you know, somebody, Mark, that is maybe listening, like, you know, could be a guy, could be a lady that's saying, look, I'm not really that interested in guns. Like, why is this important to me? What would you say to them?
Well, it's important to you for a number of reasons. Number one, it's number two on our Bill of Rights. In the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, if they can take your guns away, they can take anything away from you. And it is the Second Amendment that protects all of our other rights and freedoms. You don't have to be a gun owner. You don't have to like guns. And I'll give you a prime example of someone who hates guns but owns them, and that's Bill Maher. He's made that very clear on his show many times. I hate having to own a gun, he said. But I'm never going to give mine up until I know everyone's is gone, and they're never going to be gone in this country. There are over 500 million guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens. So if everything the other side said was true about it being the guns, we'd have hundreds of millions of murders in this country, and we don't. So you don't have to like guns, but what you have to like are your rights as an American citizen, enumerated rights. This is a right granted to us by a higher power, not given to us by God, or given to us by man, but by God. We have a right to defend ourselves, period. You don't have to like that. If you don't want to own guns, don't own guns. But don't try to take mine away from me, because I do. And that's been borne out by the numbers. We've covered this on my show for years and years and years. But it's amazing how many people out there still want to take it from us. Well, so it's important. You have to pay attention.
And even before I owned them, you know, that's exactly what I would tell people. Look, you know, I don't own any, but yeah, I believe in them wholeheartedly, the Second Amendment. And, you know, I'm glad there's people like you out there, again, fighting for our rights to keep them. And I want to fight for it as well. What's something, you know, I know that you talked a little bit about the Glock trigger thing with California. Mm-hmm. What's something that keeps you up at night right now, just as holy with all the gun issues out there?
Well, why the other side won't admit that their policies have failed? And what they do is they transpose that to us. And let me give you an example. I pick on Chicago all the time.
Well, I was going to say, they have strict gun laws there. What's wrong with Chicago?
There's at least 20 shootings every single weekend in Chicago. We follow them and cover them. I have covered tens of thousands of shootings in Chicago over the last 17, 18 years on the national program. And I ask this question all the time. Why is this continuing to happen? It's not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. But it does. Why? And I can only draw one conclusion, that it's good for their political business. Because it's their policy failure. The Democrat Party is the party of gun control, period. Now, we have some sketchy Republicans out there. I could talk about John Cornyn and some others. I won't go there because we just don't have enough time to do that. But it is the Democrat Party that writes it into their party platform that they support the Second Amendment. But meanwhile, every single Democrat-run city, and you fact-check me on this, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do it. If you take every single Democrat-run city out of every state in the nation, you have virtually no crime. That's just a fact. Remove Atlanta from the state of Georgia where I sit, you've got a very safe state. And we pick on Chicago because the numbers are just horrific out of Chicago every single weekend, and they don't stop killing each other during the week. We just report the weekend numbers.
It's
policy. The Democrats have owned Chicago in the mayor's office for over 100 years. These are just facts. It's their policies that fail. And that's what bothers me. There's a lot of things that bother me because I don't understand why the other side, why the hatred builds. There's a lot of Trump derangement syndrome. We could go a lot of different directions. But when it comes to guns, I had a program director years ago tell me in Atlanta, there are two topics on radio that bring out the worst of the other side, guns and abortion.
I was going to say abortion, yeah.
Right, and he was absolutely spot on about that. Mike Moran was his name. He was spot on about that. And I've gotten hate mail from the other side simply because I support the right to keep and bear arms, which is, of course, enumerated in our Second Amendment and the Bill of Rights to our Constitution. And we will always fight for that right. And we, by the way, are winning, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that. You don't hear that from the mainstream media, but we are winning. The Bruin decision in 2023, and all of the subsequent cases after that that the Bruin decision gave rise to, as we now get ready to fight two Second Amendment cases the Supreme Court is getting ready to take. One of them is a hot topic, and that's marijuana and guns. Anybody who's ever bought a gun that smokes marijuana in a state where it's been legalized, that legalization is in violation of federal law. And on the federal form 4473, Justin, it says clearly on question 20B, are you an unlawful user of? And if you answer no and you have a medical marijuana card, you are actually committing a federal perjury.
So
we have cases going to the court now that the Supreme Court is going to begin to answer some of these questions. And an assault weapons ban, I don't use that term. I use it because that's the way people know it as. The other side has been very successful in hijacking the English language. It's not an assault weapon. It's a semi-automatic rifle, period. That's all it is. And it's the most popular rifle in America. The court has made it clear in 08 in Heller, and again in Bruin in 2023, and McDonald in 2010, that guns that are in common use cannot be banned, period. It is more popular. There are more AR-15s than there are F-150 pickup trucks in America. Clearly, it's commonly owned. So we need to get a case in front of the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh has signaled that we are going to when they didn't take the Fourth Circuit case back in the last term. We're going to get one, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to win it.
Well, and folks, pay attention to next time you see, God forbid, there's another mass shooting, which, you know, it's probably going to happen. But pay attention to, it's real interesting how the media is very quiet when it's a shotgun, when it's a pistol. They don't say anything.
They say nothing.
Yeah. But when it's an AR-15, well, they're all over that one.
Well, even worse than that, Justin, when it is a pistol or a shotgun, they call for banning assault weapons. Now, there's a movement on the left right now. They're just beginning. It started this week, calling Charlie Kirk's assassin's gun, which is a bolt-action rifle. And I know there's a lot of you hunters up there that hunt with with bolt-action rifles. I do. They're now calling that a quote-unquote sniper rifle. And that's going to be their next line of attack. And that's, you know, they get away with that because they have friends in the mainstream media. Hence why we have Armed American Radio and Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, so that we can counter these things.
Well, I got two questions for you on that since you brought it up. I was going to ask this anyway, but I was going to go a different direction. But I don't want to, you know, get mired because we don't have, I have the time to get mired in the whole Charlie Kirk thing other than, you know, I've listened to a lot of a talk on Charlie Kirk just from the shooting standpoint. Forget everything else, all the other stuff that's came up that's questioned. And I've heard time after time from ex-Navy SEALs or current or Green Berets or you name it, there is no way that was a 30-06, and he would have been blown apart if it had been a 30-06. Now, I'm not saying that the guy's not involved with it, but what's your thought? You're a ballistics guy, and you know that stuff. And the other thing that I found, and I'm curious to know the legality on this, I've heard that on the death certificate, when there's a shooting, they have to put the caliber of the gun down, and that wasn't on his death certificate. Again, I'm just asking. Ooh,
okay,
I'm not asking.
That's the first I've heard of that. So that's interesting. Okay. I'll have to look
into
that.
Yeah, I don't know the legality there. I'm not asking you to prove that up, just other than to say, like, have you heard that? But what's your thought on the whole 30-06? I mean, is there just no way?
Well, here's what I can tell you. I know Kash Patel personally, okay? And I trust Kash Patel to give us the facts. Now, I'm not the conspiracy guy, all right? I saw Charlie Kirk's murder, like billions of people around the world saw it within seconds of it happening. I was live on the air when we had to announce that he did, in fact, pass away when we were able to confirm that live on the show. And here's what we do know, and I do trust the FBI on this, okay? Again, I'm not the conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
But we have the guy. We have him on video. We have the rifle. Patel has told us that we have what we have. And I trust them. I do. I believe them. And that's because I know him personally. Now, we could go into all different kinds of, we could go down a lot of different rabbit holes with the system. There's people saying that the shot would have gone through the neck, et cetera. You also have a doctor that, you know, and Erica Kirk and others that, you know, the bullet didn't exit, et cetera. And then you have pictures of people behind him. Were they involved? They were throwing hand signals. We have all this nonsense and all this noise going on around us. But I trust the FBI in this case because I do know Kash Patel personally. And I also know Andrew Bailey, who took over co-FBI responsibilities with Dan Bongino. So I know two of the three of them very well. And I trust what these individuals are telling us. I truly do. Far more than I would trust a previous administration. So having seen it, having fired that caliber many times myself, I'm going to tell you, you know, we already know. We know what we've been told. We know we have the shooter. I'm not going to get into any conspiracy issues because that's just going down rabbit holes, and that just feeds a huge problem that we will never get answers to. Unfortunately for us, we're probably sitting on, you know, another Kennedy gig, right?
That's what I was afraid of.
Are we ever going to know? Yeah, you know, exactly. Are we ever going to really truly know? Is there other people involved? One of my issues is the conversation that he had with his so-called roommate, his quote-unquote trans lover, whatever it was, when he called him and said, I want you to do all this stuff. To me, that appeared to be a setup to get him off the hook. So there's all kinds of ways we can go here. But as far as the shot, one of the videos, the first video I saw of this, was an individual who was back about 150 yards up in the nosebleed section, way in the back. And when the shot rang out, the camera immediately turned to the right. He immediately went to the right, which is exactly where the shooter was on the roof at the time. So when he did that, he instinctively moved the camera over to where the sound came from. Was it a rifle shot? Yes. It sounded to me at the time to be a suppressed rifle shot, but I went back and listened to it, and at that distance, it might not. And to those people out there that say, he could never have taken that shot. He could have taken that shot accurately. Any deer hunter knows you can take that shot accurately with iron sights. You don't even need a scope. Okay? So there's all this noise out there about this, but I'm going to ask you really seriously. I do know these men. Trust them for right now, and let's wait and see what else comes out. I think the big question is going to be, did he have any assistance? Was there anybody else helping him? And it might be a while before we get that info. And sadly, guys, we might not ever get it.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of, too. The question I was going to ask you, though, and again, I know you carry, and I know that you're obviously, you know, you should hear the intro to a show, folks, where he talks about, come and get my guns. It's going to take a station wagon to your friends and a whole lot of other
people.
You
better bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends because you're going to need them. I'm not giving them anything, and I'm never going to.
But that being said, do you worry at all now, because you are a national gun host, but a national host that's very well known, I mean, again, I don't want to give anything away, but do you worry about your own security and... You know, what's your
absolutely
thoughts on
it? I do. Yeah. I absolutely do. And there's a reason I don't own a suppressor. There's a reason I don't own any NFA items, a short-barreled rifle, otherwise known as SBRs, and suppressors at this point. I've been very hard on the ATF over the years. I pull no punches when it comes to the ATF. It's a rogue outfit that shouldn't exist. It's unconstitutional. And I've questioned many, many times, when you're an ATF agent and you're going out and putting lawful gun dealers out of business, I want to know how you sleep at night when you know what you're doing is wrong. So I've been tough on the ATF over the years. Now, a lot of that's changing with the NFA now and the $200 tax stamp, et cetera. We just saw that move through the halls of Congress. So we're trying to get all of that NFA wiped out right now. And, guys, you're listening to somebody that thinks you should be able to buy a gun, any kind of gun you want out of a vending machine, as far as I'm concerned, okay, as a law-abiding American, because criminals do.
That's right.
It's pretty much that simple. They just simply don't follow the law. And as a law-abiding American, I'm a threat to no one. And guess what? 150 million gun owners in possession of 500 million guns and probably billions, if not over a trillion rounds of ammo in this country, prove me right every single day.
Yeah, well, Scott, it's funny. Scott, one of our hosts here and the owner of the station, he had said this morning, I happened to hear this on his own radio show, you know, the most ridiculous thing, and you know, not just here, obviously, but, you know, Minnesota, that is, but, you know, these, you know, guns banned or no guns mm-hmm. allowed in this building. And, you know, as if you're a criminal and you're going to walk up, oh, my bad.
Yeah, no, well, here, let me put back. It. Let's have some more fun with that. Let's picture, because radio is theater of the mind, so let's sure. paint the picture here for everybody. I want you to picture a criminal den and all the criminals getting ready to go out criminaling on the weekend in Chicago, okay? And all of a sudden there's a gun ban. You can't own a Glock for what, let's just say it's in California. It's in Los Angeles for this purpose. Said no criminal ever, oh, man, I'm not going to rob that liquor store tonight. They've banned my Glock.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Guys, what do you have?
I can't use my AR-15 because we can't go to that liquor store. They have a sign up that says no guns allowed. Said no criminal ever.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, guys, you got to think about these things realistically. You really, truly do. And when you do that, when you get out of the media bubble and you get objective and you look down at everything, Justin, you see, oh, you know what? Wow, that's true. Yeah, criminals don't pay attention to the law. That's why they're criminals, right?
That's right.
And that's what they try to do to you. They try to make us look like criminals, and they try to bring that over to us by all guns are bad, and eventually somebody that owns a gun is going to use it for bad things. But again, 150 million law-abiding Americans prove them wrong every day.
Now, I know there's so many issues going on in so many states, and I have mm-hmm. been listening lately. I didn't hear this, but just wanted to get your take since I had you. So you've been keeping track of Minnesota. So I still live there. Our good friend Lee Michael still lives there.
Yes.
And I'm in Lakes Country, so I'm up by Fargo. I'm about 45 minutes here from the studio. But, you know, as far as the whole school shooting, the political assassinations that occurred earlier in the year, you know, there's been this big threat right now, of course, for, you know, banning AR-15s. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some, you know, some loud voices thinking they might actually get it done. What are your thoughts on that? I'm sure you've been keeping track of it.
Well, you've got really 12 states behind what we refer to as the blue wall, right? And unfortunately, you live behind the blue wall. So if you do live in a blue state and you have a governor, in this case, Tim Walz in Minnesota, he hates your gun rights. And he's going to do everything he can with the money from the Democrat Party, the anti-gunners, Bloomberg, Everytown for Gun Safety, you know, the Giffords organizations, all of them. They're going to do everything they can to take away your rights. And the low-hanging fruit is the AR-15, which is why we desperately need one of these cases to get to the court. And we have them lined up, I believe, personally, since it wasn't the Fourth Circuit case, which actually checked all the boxes. I would have lost money in Vegas because I did bet on my show that they were going to take that case. It checked every box. They didn't take it. Kavanaugh comes out with a very odd statement, knowing people are disappointed they didn't take the case, but reminding people that we are going to take one within the next term or two. And that's when guys like Walz and Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer and, you know, any of the other gun banners and, you know, pick the usual suspects anywhere in New England, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, they're all going to lose. And I'm really excited for that. I can't wait to get on the air and gloat over it for hours and days and weeks at a time, because we will win that case.
Now, you brought Tim Walz, right? Our famous governor here. Now, you did see, I'm assuming you saw this during the campaign with he and Kamala. He is an expert yeah. marksman and gun handler. you saw that with a shotgun, right? I mean, yeah, he really knows sure what did. He's doing. And uh-huh. Kamala yeah. says she's got quite a few guns around the house as well.
In fact, Kamala said she has a Glock. In fact, Gavin Newsom
doesn't have that trigger switch on, the Chinese trigger switch.
Well, you know, she was never asked by media, what model Glock do you go to the range? And said, look, I hope she does have a Glock. She has a right to own a Glock. In her position, she has a right to defend her life. I will defend anybody's right. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, white, black, green, yellow. It doesn't matter to me. You have a right to keep and bear arms in this country, period. And they love that right for themselves, but they hate that right for us. Okay for me, not for thee. Governor Waltz stands there and runs his gator all day long about how he wants to take away guns. It's gun, gun, while he's surrounded by people with guns.
Well, it always cracks me up, you know, as I'm sure it does you, all the people in Hollywood to this day. They'll come out and talk about, you know, oh, it's so violent. I can't believe the school shooting. We got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And these are people that are in the most graphic gun movies that you can imagine and horrific other parts of the movies. And, you know, again, you and I, to your point, can't own a gun, but it's plenty okay for them. And not only that, but they can have a wall around their house.
Well, and they do. They do all of that. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. A very, very good friend of mine is a guy by the name of Russell Stewart, who owns the only gun shop in Beverly Hills called Beverly Hills Guns. Now, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, and I'm not going to name names.
He must have good customers.
Oh, he's got great customers. Yeah. Multi-hundred millionaires and billionaires that are customers. Many of them are A-rated actors who are out there running their mouths about gun control, who say to him privately, I can't say publicly what I believe privately. I'll never work again. Oh, by the way, sell me that gun.
Let me ask.
He makes a living selling those people guns all day, every day.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up to that then. Why do they feel – I understand that they can't come out and say, like, hey, I'm pro-gun. Why do they have to say the opposite? Why do they say anything at all then?
Well, I'd like to see them stand up and change things, because I want to ask listeners a question. Imagine – and I have counted – thousands of these, and there are far more of these than we have time to cover on 17 years of radio. But I've covered some of the greatest human interest stories ever. The deputy in Florida in Sarasota County who was being beaten and attacked by the black guy on top of him at a traffic stop at 5 o'clock in the afternoon a few years ago, who was stopped by a black man with a concealed carry permit while everybody else was filming this cop getting beat to death. Another black man with a gun shot the black man beating the cop, and nobody covered it.
Of course,
I mean, this is amazing human interest story that you would think would get massive coverage because it was all caught on video, and we never hear about it. Imagine the perception, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, think about this, of how people would think about guns if all of these stories were told. I call them happy ending stories on my show, not because a criminal died, but because the good guy survived to fight another day and is there for his family to defend them and care for them. He's got kids, wife, mother, father, brothers, sisters, cousins. That person is alive because they had a gun. This happens millions of times across the country every single year, and the media never covers it. Imagine if they did. So ask yourself the question, why don't they? Well, that would make it, that would change the whole narrative, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
And their narrative is gun-hating narrative, guns are bad, people with guns are bad, etc. But again, I hate bumper sticker logic until bumper sticker logic is right. But if 150 million American gun owners were a problem, you'd already know it.
That's right. You know, and it just drives me crazy, though, about Hollywood and just what the, one of the reasons, though, folks, that I listen to Mark is for the example that he just gave, though, about all of the good things that happen with guns, because you'll regularly talk about your program, like what you just mentioned about the police that was saved during the when they had the pullover. And then also, too, I remember you talking about one. It was on the East Coast. I think that lady was being taken to court, if I remember correctly, because she defended herself in her home. And this goes back to, I think, you know, again, maybe I'm conflating a couple of these stories, but there's been stories where, you know, there's more than one intruder. And so this goes back to magazine size, right? And, you know, what's appropriate? Because people say, well, why does anybody need 20 bullets? Well, maybe you're not a good shot, and maybe there's more than one intruder, and maybe you're a little groggy when you get disturbed in the middle of the night and there's multiple, people breaking in. So that's why you need more storage on your gun. But you want to say something like 30 seconds about that?
Yeah, I have a 2014 Corvette Stingray Z51. Why do I need all that horsepower when the speed limit is 65 or 75? It's not a matter of needs. It's not a matter of wants. It's a matter of rights. And the magazines that they refer to as high capacity are standard capacity. See, this is where they've been very effective in directing and redirecting the narrative in the media over all of these years. So if it's okay for me to have only 10 rounds, are cops carrying only 10 rounds? How come cops in California were exempted from the Glock ban and civilians were not? Okay, again, it goes back to the okay for me, not for thee.
That's right.
A right is a right is a right. It's not about needs. It's not about wants. It's about rights. It's that simple. I need whatever it is I choose to carry, whatever it is I want. And I'm not going to alter my lifestyle because of a criminal. It's that simple. And we will fight for that right every single day. And we will win. And we are winning, in fact.
Well put. And folks, again, you listen to Mark. Where can we catch you, by the way? You know, give me this big website.
Yeah, armedamericanradio.com or .org. We got both, so it covers you. You can listen to us on Armed American Radio Monday through Friday, Central Time, 3 to 4 p.m., 5 days a week, and every Sunday from 8 to 11 Eastern, 7 to 10 p.m. Central. And you can watch us on Twitter at AARMark. I would hope that you would go over there and like us over there. Facebook.com/Armed American Radio, YouTube Armed American Radio, Rumble Armed American Radio. And we're everywhere. So go out and check us out. I think you'll enjoy the program for sure. And I would love to be on in Fargo.
Yeah.
So let's make that happen.
I'm going to work on that part. That I can do. But, you know, certainly, folks.
No pressure. No pressure, Justin.
If you want to message in, folks, and ask for that as well. Because, again, I mean, if you could tell, he's very passionate about this. And, again, it's those stories that you don't hear about in the news. You're going to hear from Mark, good or bad. And mm-hmm. I just, again, he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this. So, yeah, I appreciate you joining us today. And, like I said, I'm trying to connect with you on the other side. As folks know, I'm going to do the national show sometimes, and
sure.
We'll have you on that too. So,
absolutely, thanks. Anytime. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on today, and have a great weekend. Fargo, I love you guys, man. So we'll see you on the radio.
Happy Halloween, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Thanks for sticking around with us. Justin from the Lakes Country filling in for Mr. Hallstrom. He's out on assignment. We're coming to you live from the Drive with Vision Studio, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, where you can buy a car, truck, and SUV in 15 minutes. And I know Steve has one because I've seen his Lincoln, and he loves it. So, again, thanks for hanging out with us. We got just a few more minutes here. Want to bring in Blair Hill. Blair was calling, I believe you're from a food pantry. Is that right, Blair?
Yeah, that's Blair Hill over here in Dilworth. I'm a pastor, and my wife and I run. We're the executive directors of Seeds of Hope Food Pantry and also the founder. So just wanted to comment a little bit about the government shutdown and how it's affecting or could really affect the SNAP program of food assistance in November.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a few minutes here. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that we're concerned about is when a lot of people we see that come to our food pantry are very much in need, disenfranchised, mentally ill, single mothers. And I mean, everyone talks about how, you know, we get a lot of attitude sometimes of people that misunderstand that most of the people that come for food are really in desperate need. A lot of them are working, and, you know, and we need to support those. Now, with the food stamp program possibly not being available, I don't know how they could get it started because today's the last day of the month. You're going to see a big increase at all of the food pantries in the area just because of the stress, anxiety, fear people are feeling. When you can't, you know, provide food for your kids, you really get stressed out. So we're really praying for peace for our nation and that this thing won't go sideways and possibly get unrest in the community. But we're asking, and I'm a pastor here, we're serving over here at Destiny Outreach Mission Base, which is our training program we have in Dilworth and also operates the food pantry here, Seeds of Hope. And we're conveniently located right downtown Dilworth, right between three bars. So we're very conveniently located.
Yeah, I'm glad that you called in because I had tried to put a message out. I did not realize that Steve had talked to you, but I had put a message out to Great Plains because I wanted to ask about it. Now, of course, these federal judges came in now. Looks like something might happen there where it gets restarted. But to your point, you're trying to restart this thing after it's been closed for about 30, you know, however many days and how that's going to work out. But I would agree. I don't know how much of the program you heard, but as, you know, as somebody that's, you know, I'm fairly up on what's going on in the media. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, when it comes to the SNAP and EBT, as we've been talking about through the show, that just aren't being honest is probably the best way to put it, or the nicest way. I mean, there's just such abuse there. However, I did say, I mean, going to your local church, going to your local food pantry, entirely different story. Those people are very in need.
Yeah, we see the people, and, you know, there are those people, and especially there's also a lot of illegal aliens that are on the program that are making it harder for Americans to get on the program. But, you know, people talk about the fraud, and yes, there's people that abuse the program, but there's so many other people in need. And, you know, as believers, we feel like we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community and do what we can. And like I said, we see the need. This past week, we usually get about 60 family groups and give out about 2,000 pounds of food. This Tuesday, we had 96 family groups show up. It was about 30 or 40 new people just this week. So whether the government figures it out or not, that's a big if. Nothing in government moves quickly. But as I want to just call out to the churches and ask them to step up. They could provide so much food by doing their own food drives, giving funding, cash, donations to your local, I mean, the community food bank pantries that actually give out the food, you know, to support them. And that's one way we can come together, because people are stressed out. And I just say, hey, just take it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We have wonderful people in this area. Our neighbors, I believe they'd step up and they'd go in their own cupboards. They come and provide food.
Well,
I think it's going to be all right.
Real quick, Blair, you're in Dilworth. Just address, number, anything?
14 Center Avenue East, downtown Dilworth. Like, you know where any of the bars are downtown Dilworth? They're right in the middle there.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us. And definitely, folks, keep that address handy. Keep them in your prayers. And we will see you on Monday. Keep flying that flag.